What would you consider to be the most popular psalm in Scripture? We got a 23, a 23rd. Anybody got any different ones? I don't know. Yeah, leave it to Randy. Come up 119. Let's go with 23 or 23rd, as Amy would put it. All right, so let's go ahead. Let's turn to Psalm 23. When you get there, say, "The Lord is my shepherd." All right. I hear a little voice reflection going on there. Wow. All right. Today is your guys' lucky day. I got a very short sermon. Should be done in about 10 minutes. I know who's on my side now, Amy. I'm keeping an eye on Amy anyway. Wednesday we're in here and she found one of my mistakes in Bible study. Instead of coming and just politely and respectfully talking to me privately, she blurts it out in front of everybody. No, I appreciate when that happens, because it tells me somebody's checking me out. And all of you guys have a responsibility to check me out. Vic doesn't know I make mistakes. I've told her before, I do make them once in a while. I think she's starting to hear me out. All right, Lord is my shepherd. We're there, aren't we? All right. You know, this psalm is probably the best known psalm in the world, Psalm 23. But at the same time, it is also, I think, a commonly misunderstood psalm. And that makes me think of a story I heard several years ago. There was at one time this Shakespearean actor. He was known everywhere for his one-man show of readings and narrations of the classics. He would always end his performances with a dramatic read of Psalm 23. Each night, without exception, as the actor began his recitation, he would begin it with, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." The crowd would listen attentively. And then at the conclusion of the psalm, they would rise in thunderous applause and appreciation for the actor's incredible ability to bring the verse to life. But one night, just before the actor was to go up and offer his customary recital of Psalm 23, this young man from the audience spoke up and said, "Sir, do you mind if tonight I recite Psalm 23? And the actor was kind of taken back a bit with this unusual request. But he allowed the young man to come forward and stand in front, center, on the stage and recite Psalm 23, knowing that the ability of this unskilled youth would be no match for his own talent. With a soft voice, the young man began to recite the words of Psalm 23. When he finished, there was no applause. There was no standing ovation as on the other nights. The only sound that could be heard was the sound of weeping. The audience had been so moved by the young man's reading that every eye was full of tears. Moved by what he heard, the actor said to the young man, I don't understand. I have been performing Psalm 23 for years. I have a lifetime of experience and training, but I have never been able to move an audience as you have tonight. Tell me, what is your secret? And the young man humbly replied, Well, sir, you know the psalm, but I know the shepherd. And folks, that's the question I have for you today. That's the question I think we all need to ask ourselves. Do we know the psalm or do we know the shepherd? So let's dive into Psalm 23. We're probably going to be here for a couple weeks, so in the next week or two, read through this on your own more than once. It's six verses. You can knock it out in 30 seconds, but I encourage you to spend more than 30 seconds in it. Let's read Psalm 23, starting with verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Verse 6. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I said a moment ago that I believe Psalm 23 is commonly a misunderstood psalm. For example, people often refer to Psalm 23 as the shepherd's psalm. The problem with that is, did you notice that the shepherd, who's the shepherd? It's God, okay? Notice he doesn't even say anything. The shepherd is completely silent in this psalm. The one doing the talking is somebody by the name of anybody? David. And David represents a sheep. So maybe instead of calling it the shepherd's psalm, maybe we should call it the sheep psalm. Don't know. Another example is that this psalm is read at funerals on a regular basis. Yet it don't really have anything to do with death or dying. Instead, it has to do with how we can have comfort while living. It has to do with our relationship with God as our caregiver while we're still alive. Now, having said that, let's begin to see what we can learn from these six verses. And again, I think we'll be here for 3 weeks, so there must be a lot here we can learn. David directly identifies God as the Savior. We know that. But he fails to identify his position. Now, it's quite obvious, though, that David is indirectly considering himself to be a sheep. It is an absolute must that we grasp this. If we fail to understand our positions or the positions assigned here, this psalm will have no meaning whatsoever. If you see yourself as a sheep, but you don't see Jesus as the shepherd, this psalm is worthless to you. If you see God to be the shepherd, but you fail to see yourself as a sheep, then this psalm is of no value to you. This psalm talks about having all our needs met. It's talking about having our soul restored. It's talking about not being fearless of evil. It's talking about having comfort. It's talking about having God's mercy and love follow you through life. It's talking about dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. All of these things are available to you and me. And who wouldn't want them things? But to receive them, we have to first understand and agree to our position. So what's the opposite of these things? Well, the opposite would be living in unmet needs. Poverty, barely surviving. Having an agitated, restless, troubled soul. Having fear of evil and the sinful things of the world. Living in discomfort, having worry and anxiety, feeling depressed and hopeless, having God's wrath and His judgment on your coattails, dwelling in the house of hell forever. Those are the opposites of what we see here in Psalm 23. Now, I'm sure that those things here does not describe anyone here today, but the odds are pretty good that you and I know people that live like that. See, the average person has no problem with God being the shepherd. The problem is being the sheep. And why is that? Why is it a problem for us as human beings to be considered sheep? I'll give you at least two reasons. I know there's more, but I'm going to give you two reasons this morning. First of all, people don't like to be referred to as a sheep because sheep are owned. They are considered to be property. Psalm 95, 6 and 7 says, "Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care." In Psalm 100, verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture." All throughout Scripture, sheep are seen as being owned. They're always seen as belonging to someone. And so that's one reason why people do not like to be considered as sheep. But a second reason that people don't like to be referred to as sheep is because of the sheep's various characteristics. Now, we understand sheep from the American version. My studies take me back to the Middle Eastern culture of this day and understanding sheep. There is some differences. For example, sheep as a whole, they don't have a sense of direction. Not a big deal here in our states because most sheep is in a fenced-in pen. That's not the case back then. But sheep have no sense of direction. Left to themselves, sheep have no natural instinct of finding their way back home. Sheep go astray. They get lost pretty easy. They go to the Bengals games and they leave their van in a parking lot and can't find it for 2 days. I'm sorry, Ralph. Daggone it. That's a sermon within itself. When lost, a sheep will have a tendency to just walk around in circles in a state of confusion and panic. In Matthew 9:36, Jesus described sheep to be without a shepherd, and with that, they appear to be harassed and helpless. Isaiah 53:6 says, "We all, like," you know this verse, you're responsible, "like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned your way," his own way. Folks, that sounds like the majority of the people in our world today. People are just aimlessly wandering through life with no real sense of direction. Sheep do not know the difference between poisonous plants and non-poisonous plants. They don't know the difference between clean water and stagnant water that's filled with parasites, which can give them internal diseases when they drink it. We as humans are like sheep in the same way. We fail to make a distinction between what is good for us and what is bad for us. As a society, we fail to realize the physical, the emotional, the psychological, and the spiritual dangers that come from the things we eat and drink and the sources of entertainment that we choose to be entertained by and by our habits and by our lifestyles. After sheep eat all the grass in a pasture, they're too dumb to know to move on to another one. They'll just stay there and starve to death. Some people refuse to move past their circumstances, which leaves them dwelling in bitterness and guilt and frustration and depression before resulting in starving themselves of life. Sheep fail to recognize the various creatures that prey upon them. And even if they did, sheep are defenseless against enemies. The average person fails to recognize their spiritual enemies. And even if they did, without Jesus, they can't defend themselves. Because of the lanolin in a sheep's wool, all the little twigs and burrs and dust and dirt stick to them, making them just dirty and grimy creatures. In addition to that, sheep don't have any way to clean themselves. And that's how it is with us. Outside of Jesus, we have no way of cleaning ourselves of the stain of sin in our lives. And to be honest with you, nobody likes to be compared to sheep. But the fact of the matter is, we, as a human race, left to ourselves, we're just like sheep. Can I get a baa from you? A lot of sheep in here. I've read this psalm numerous times. I'm sure you have too. I've read books on this psalm. I've read articles and commentaries. I've heard it quoted a lot of times over the years. I've heard it preached on by other preachers. But something I've come to realize is that this psalm only applies to those that are sheep. Therefore, I think before we ever begin to deal with the psalm and the actions of the shepherd, we need to first understand what it means to be a sheep. And that takes me to another characteristic that describes sheep, and that characteristic is meekness. Sheep are meek creatures in the sense that they are, by nature, weak, humble, needy, gentle, submissive. But yet we as mankind have a tendency to be just the opposite. Man doesn't like to see himself as weak and needy. Instead, we like to see ourselves to be strong. We can take care of ourselves. We don't need any help from God. Man is rarely humble. Prideful is more like it. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches that man's most predominant area of sin is what? Pride. Man is more rebellious than he is gentle. And humans certainly are not submissive by nature. We're actually more selfish. We like to see ourselves to be self-sufficient. We have no need for outside help. Now let me turn the table here for a minute and talk about something I've noticed about this psalm that I really hadn't gave a lot of thought to years ago. Psalm 23 is not just a general psalm. It's a personal psalm. David starts out and he says, "The Lord is what? My shepherd." Verse 2, David says, "He makes me lie down. He leads me beside quiet waters." Verse 3, "He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness." Second part of verse 4, David says, "You are with me, your rod and staff. They comfort me." Verse 5, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Verse 6, "Goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." See, David never says we. He doesn't say us. He doesn't say ours. He doesn't say the Lord is our shepherd. He doesn't say the shepherd makes us lie down. Why is it so important to catch the my's and the me's in this psalm? Because it stresses that the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is a personal one. This psalm is not about us and our shepherd. It's about you and your shepherd. The my's and the me's here emphasize that you are a personal matter to your shepherd. It shows that God personally loves you and personally cares about you. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, he said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them. See, as Christians, we may be a part of God's worldwide flock of sheep, but to God, you're an individual sheep to Him. And He specifically cares for you. When the sheep head back into the sheepfold at the end of the day, a shepherd will stand at the entrance, the gate or what have you, and examine each individual sheep as they pass by to see if there's any types of scratches or injuries that need to be attended to. Something else Jesus said was that He calls His own sheep by name. See, in biblical times, it was common for several shepherds to place their sheep in the same sheepfold at nighttime. And then the next morning, they would return to the sheepfold to gather their sheep to head back out to the pasture for the day. But the interesting part is that the shepherd did not have to go into the pen and gather each one of his sheep individually to get them to come out. He would just stand at the entrance. He would stand at the gate of the sheepfold. And he would call each one by name. And they would come one at a time. But in the Gospel of John, Jesus points something else out. He said, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. See, shepherds and their sheep have such a close, intimate relationship that if another shepherd got to the sheep pen before you did, your sheep would not go with them because they would not recognize his voice. It's kind of like how some of you moms in here. You can hear a kid cry back here. I couldn't tell you which kid it is, but if it's your kid, you pick it out and boom, you're gone. Parents are able to distinguish the cry and the voice of their kids in a crowd of children. Why? Because it's a result of that personal relationship they have with their child. Understand that you may be one of millions and millions of sheep in God's flock. But to God as your personal shepherd, you're still just an individual. To God, you're still Amy. To God, you're still Andy. To God, you're still Jim. You are still an individual to your shepherd. That makes me think of the parable that Jesus told about the lost sheep. He was talking to a crowd of people, and he says to the crowd of people, he says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep, and just one of them wanders away. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and comes home. I don't know about you, if I had 100 sheep out in the wilderness, in a pasture, I doubt if I'd even know if 10 of them wandered away, let alone one of them. But see, Jesus personally cares for each one of his individual sheep. Jesus sees each one of his sheep to be uniquely special. Therefore, he is always looking out for their personal well-being. That's exactly what this whole psalm is about. It's about how the shepherd specifically cares for each one of his sheep, you and me. It's about how God is personally involved in each one of our individual lives, providing us with personal, individualized guidance, protection, restoration, comfort, and hope. And we'll look more into that next week, but let me ask you this. Why is it so important that we be reminded that God is a personal God? Why is it so important that we be reminded that God sees each one of us as an individual? Well, because if we're not careful, we can have a tendency to fall into seeing God the way the world sees God, as just some higher power, some big cosmic force that's just kind of floating around up there in heaven, looking over the universe, letting things run its course. And folks, the less personal God seems to us, the less we're going to love Him. And the less we realize just how much He personally cares for us as individuals. That's why I always like to say that Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not about how we can become religious. Matter of fact, you can throw religion away. The gospel of Jesus Christ is about how each one of us as individuals can have a personal, individual relationship with the shepherd. And so as I come to a close this morning, let me ask you, does that describe you? Let me ask you something I asked earlier. Do you know the psalm, or do you know the shepherd? See, this psalm talks about how we can have all of our physical, emotional, and spiritual needs met by having our soul restored, being fearless of the sin and the evil in the world, having eternal comfort and peace, and having God's mercy and love, while knowing that we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Does that describe you? See, when the shepherd hung on the cross, He had you specifically on His heart and in His mind. And so let me ask you, can you truly say from the depths of your heart that Jesus is your shepherd? And let me remind you, if He's your shepherd, that means you're a sheep. And if you're a sheep, that means you're owned. You're the property of the shepherd. Does that describe you? Because, see, you can't be calling Him shepherd unless you're His sheep. As I sit and think of just my own life before I came to the Lord, I'm not a real bright sheep right now, but I was an extra stupid sheep before I came to the Lord. And I guess if I'm going to have a shepherd, I might as well take the best shepherd there is. Because see, whether you like to acknowledge it or not, you're just as dumb a sheep as I am. And, nope, there's no exception. I was trying to think if there's an exception, but knowing this crowd, no, there's no exception. And I can tell you, being as dumb a sheep as I am, you're going to need that same shepherd. That may not sound right, because you look at me and you're like, well, what's He done with you? But He's working on my individual issues and He'll work on yours. But it all starts by saying, Lord, I need You to be my shepherd. If you've never done that, you can do that right here today as we sing this final song. God has always had just a little bit more room in his pasture for one more sheep to come into the flock. And I'm sure he'd invite you to do that today. You know, as I think about we're all just dumb old sheep passing through the pasture of life, I guess, and sheep, I'm sure, would love to just be able to roam freely, but, you know, with prey wanting to eat them up and just the dangers that would come in the pasture land and the wilderness as they wander freely, they don't foresee that. They don't see those dangers. And I think the sheep that truly follow the shepherd do not feel as if fun has been taken away from them in life. There's just something about going through life knowing that your shepherd is personally involved in your life and directing you through everything and guiding you through comfort and care, that it gives you joy in life. It doesn't take fun away from you. You know, I know years ago that my thoughts was, why follow Jesus? That's no fun. And I doubt I'd even be alive today if it wasn't for joining up with the shepherd. So if you've never asked Jesus to be your shepherd, I just encourage you to really consider that today. And understand that it's a matter of being honest from your heart and going before the Lord and just laying your sin out before Him and asking Him to forgive you and to come into your life and be your Lord, and your Savior, and your shepherd. You don't have to come up front. You don't have to have some pastor. You can do it wherever you are, because He'll hear you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just come before You this morning, Lord. I can speak for myself, and I'm assuming most people here, if not all. Now, Lord, we lift to You just tremendous gratitude for being the shepherd that You are. You bring so much to our lives that we'll never be able to repay You. We'll never be able to thank You enough for all of Your personal care that You provide for us day in and day out, let alone the fact that because You're our shepherd, we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone here today that has never given their lives up to You, that, Lord, today You will deal with their hearts and they will yield themselves over to You. And Lord, I just thank You for all that are here today. In Christ's name, amen.